Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Well, this is a first, everyone. Welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. We have I have to say human because we're always focusing on veterinary. So we have a human dentist in the house, Dr. Martin Mendelson. Thanks for joining us, my friend.
Absolutely. I'm excited to be here. I love firsts. They're always
Yes. And I want to share with the listeners, there's a lot of parallels that you're about to listen to. He's got an incredible story. He's a huge heavy hitter in the healthcare space and leadership and speaking. And he and I have gotten to become really close over this past year. And it's just been the power of networking, which we'll get into in a moment. But I just want to give you a little bit more context to who this incredible doctor is. Dr. Mendelson is the founder of Metamorphosis Coaching and former resident faculty at Spear Education. He's got over 20 years of experience in certifications and executive team coaching, facilitation, emotional intelligence, and happiness studies, which to the listeners, that sounds just exactly what we do in veterinary medicine. So I love it. That's why we brought him on. He's empowered leaders and teams across North America to excel and thrive. And as a captivating speaker and coach and masterful facilitator, he unleashes the power of his team approach, TEAM, guiding clients to shed the burdens of traditional leadership and embrace cohesion for unparalleled growth and fulfillment. He's a recognized thought leader, and he's an executive contributor for Brains Magazine. And his first book, which I have here, and I know it's a video podcast, so you guys can take a look, and it's One Move Makes All the Difference. It's available wherever books are sold, which we're going to chat about in a moment. So congratulations on the book as well, Doc.
Thank you. Yeah.
I want to back up a little bit because there was a story that you shared with me that really hit home over a personal struggle that you've had. And I know that we talk with listeners and our colleagues in any of our professions. We all go through something. And share with us a little bit about what that experience has been and what has that done to your current career, what you're doing now.
So I think you're referring to just the disablement and how I move forward. So, you know, the funny thing is I never thought I'd be doing anything other than clinical dentistry on humans. I started in dentistry at 16 years of age as a dental assistant. And, you know, they even made me wear white pants. It was very weird. But that's what I thought I was going to do. And about 10 years into my career, I was out of the practice of dentistry for good. And I think the story you're referencing was there was a morning after my first round of surgeries, because I was actually misdiagnosed. Yeah. They said I had carpal tunnel and cubital tunnel in my elbow, and they were wrong, but that's another story. And right after that first round of surgeries, I attempted to open up a Sweet and Low packet for my coffee, and I couldn't open it. The searing pain went through my entire arm and my shoulder, my neck, my back, and I literally panicked. And there was this little voice in my head, and it went something like this. It was like, you know what, Martin, you're going to be okay. I don't know where, I don't know how, I don't know with whom. I never imagined everything that's happened since, but believe it or not, I was out of work for 17 months. And so whether you're a human dentist, a veterinarian, think about being in your mid-30s. You're too young for this, too old for that, too inexperienced for this, too experienced for that. Like, what are you supposed to do, right? Now, to make this even more interesting, this was 2003. So that was before Google and even email utilization to a large degree. So it was really true trauma from a therapist perspective to try to figure out what was next. And so I ended up pursuing jobs within the business side of dentistry. I worked for a dental laboratory, a dental products company. And the company you mentioned, Spear Education, is the largest continuing education firm for dentists in the world. So if you ask your human dentist if they've ever heard of Spear, I guarantee you the answer will be, oh yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. So I've been very lucky, but you know what they say, the harder you work, the luckier you get. So here we are.
Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, it sounded like you had a pivot, you know, in your career where you had to go on and do something a little bit different and cut to where you are now. I mean, how did you get involved with all these wonderful speaking opportunities and coaching and leadership? What ignited you?
So it had to do with my tenure at Spear, because they saw something in me that I didn't actually see at the time. And it's kind of funny, we've had conversations about this later, or since then rather, where they realized that I was really good at talking to people and coaching people. And I'm putting that in air quotes because when I started doing that, I wasn't certified. I didn't have any learned skills in that area. And so that's how it kind of started to be better. So I took my first coaching curriculum certification, and that was it. Like I caught the bug and I thought, this is really, really cool. And that then ended up getting into team facilitation areas, emotional intelligence, happiness studies. And I'm, in fact, I'm about to enroll in a program at Wharton for the neuroscience of leadership. Because what I've realized is that I don't care what you do as a professional, the loudest voice that we hear every day is the one between our ears. And that's the one that gets in our way. And when we can finally start to understand that and really look to our thoughts as tools, not things as barriers, that's when the magic happens. So to answer your question, it was a journey that just started out of kind of necessity from a professional perspective. And I ended up just finding something that I just totally fell in love with.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I want to talk about some of the parallels that we see in our professions, both you and I. It's very interesting to the listeners. We got connected, Martin and I, through conferences and through networking, which is amazing. So I highly recommend that you always stay open to those opportunities. What are some things that you, now that some things about veterinary medicine, and you're a dog dad yourself, of course, so you see it, customer service, workflow utilization, the use of your teams. I mean, there's a lot of things that we see similarly in our fields, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's interesting when I go into a work with a dental team, and I've worked with teams of two to let's see, the biggest team yet was about 30. And I'll give you one guess how many times we talk about dentistry. The answer is zero. And it is all about customer service. It is all about systems. But you know what? Systems are only as good as the people that use them. And so the challenges that we see on the dental side, the human medical side, the veterinary side, guess what? They're all the same with nuances. Nuances to specific personalities, specific situations, et cetera. But team cohesion is team cohesion. Leadership is leadership. And being consistent and understanding what drives people as people is really what drives ultimate success in any team environment, regardless of what it is you're doing, you're serving, you're producing, et cetera. So.
Yeah. Why do you think our professions have such significant emphasis on mental health awareness? You and I have we chatted about this beforehand, and and I appreciate when I went to your conference to see that it's really front and center, like well-being, taking care of each other, similar to what we see in vet med. What do you think that is with both of our professions? I mean, and there's others, of course, too, but ours seem to stick out a little bit more.
I think truthfully, it's multifactorial, frankly. Both our professions are challenging physically and mentally. In both professions, particularly those that are in a veterinary practice where they have managerial oversight, if you're with one of your canine or feline friends, you can't be dealing with an HR issue. And so you're constantly going back and forth. I know with dentists, interestingly enough, when we give local anesthetic, our blood pressure goes up. So we're in this fight or flight situation all day long, physically challenged, mentally challenged. Nobody taught us this leadership stuff. And so it creates a really stressful situation that many of us don't know how to manage because we were never given the tools. It's not a criticism, it's just it's a skill. And so that ends up causing a lot of these mental health challenges that, frankly, up until COVID, at least on my side of the health aisle, was swept under the rug and we attempted not to talk about it too much, frankly.
I was talking to one of the dentists at this conference, and she was telling me that private equity has also been like a stressor in a way for them. Share with the listeners a little bit more about that, because I know we have it in the vet space too with private equity.
It's fascinating because like anything else, not all private equity is the same. Paging Captain Obvious. So for example, my business partner and I on the wellness side, Dr. Kyle Stanley, we're about to give our first ever in-person mental wellness course for one of these DSO, dental service organizations, one of these VC-backed companies, because they feel very important that this is a big deal. But they're kind of the outlier. The truth of the matter is that in many situations, whether real or perceived, because perception's reality, the clinical care is being, shall we say, pushed or influenced by the bottom line. And so oftentimes also there's comparisons made in reference to the bottom line. What do I mean by that? Well, Dr. X can do a crown prep in 22 minutes and you take 42 minutes. You know, what's the difference? You need to be faster, doctor. Those kind of things. So there's a lot of real pressures on, you know, the private equity side, but there's also a lot of perceived pressures on the private equity side that may or may not be outside of our own brains, if you will, in terms of how we perceive those pressures.
We've seen those too, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it is it's something that's noticed, and
Yeah.
again, to each his own. We're not saying they're good, bad, or whatever, but
Yeah.
it is, something that's out there. I want to talk about this wonderful book that you have out here. It's called One Move Makes All the Difference: How to Discover Your Power and Transform Your Life. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. So it really started on that morning that I was briefly describing earlier with that little voice in my head. It was one move of thought. And so the whole idea is one move of thought, one move of action can make all the difference. And the core of my book is my team framework, which you mentioned, which is all around thoughts that drive emotions, that create actions that manifest the results of our lives. And the impetus for the team framework is actually a quote by a man by the name of Dr. Viktor Frankl, who wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. And Dr. Frankl was a Holocaust survivor. And he was interned at 37 years of age as a psychiatrist and neurologist. So he went through this horrific life experience through that lens. And so it's a short quote, and it goes something like this: between stimulus and response, there's a space. In that space lies our freedom to choose our response. And in our response lies our growth and our freedom. So all of my work revolves and rotates around the idea that everything that happens in our lives is neutral. It's our thought that we give to that situation that drives an emotion that creates the reality of action and ultimately the manifestation of success or lack thereof, progress or lack thereof. So that's the core of the book. You could say it's a book about how to get out of your own way. That I'm very happy to report. I wanted it to be very easy to read, and that's what all the reviews have mirrored. And it's not just about me. Yes, my story is in there in parts, but it's also the story of my friend Sean Swarner, who climbed Mount Everest with one functioning lung. Or my friend Kimberly Locke, who was a third runner-up on American Idol, and the list goes on and on and on. And so I just wanted to honor their stories within the confines and context of these concepts to help people move forward. Because as you've seen, every single chapter has exercises. And so they all build on one another to kind of help you get yourself out of your own way if you so choose to accept the assignment, as they say.
You hit the nail on the head. I'm telling you, every single one of us, everyone, we either have this imposter syndrome,
Yep.
or like you are the worst critic, your worst
Yeah.
enemy. You have the voice in your head. And there's a quote in here I just want to share with you. And this is from almost the end of your book, where it's called, you talk about mindset metamorphosis. And then this is it: no more excuses for being stuck, no more limiting beliefs holding you back. You are the key. You
Yeah.
are the key. You have the power to create whatever future you want. That is very powerful. It
Yeah.
really is.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that. And you're a first to have somebody quote my own book to me. So that's kind of fun. But you know what's kind of crazy? In my Science of Optimism lecture, because I view the Science of Optimism as a strategic tool. And you know, in my keynotes, I lay out the research, and it's a lot of fun research because it's pretty mind blowing. But you know, whenever I get up and speak, I typically say to people, you know, I have three jobs here today. Number one is to help you understand, as you just said, you hold the key to your own future. You always have, you always will. That one move of thought, one move of action can make all the difference. And three, the science of optimism can be used as a tool in your tool belt to help navigate this thing called life and get you to places you never imagined. And so Those are my three goals whenever I speak to groups, and frankly, when I work with teams as well, ultimately.
Those are great goals. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Encanto. Do you ever see Encanto, Disney?
I've heard of it. I have not, I
You
can't say I've
definitely
seen.
need to watch it because you're going to see very similar kind of parallels to this movie. And what you're talking about in there, these children didn't know that they had these gifts. And I believe this is what I always equate this when I give a talk about the power of mentorship, because the gift was always there. Somebody just needed to open up that door for you to be like, here it is, you know? And this is exactly what you're talking about in that with your mindset is that you hold the key to your future. Sometimes there's barriers and you might need somebody
Course.
to talk to, a mentor up or whatever. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you're the one who makes those decisions to do that. And it's so powerful. And sometimes I need someone like you and your book to just tell me that, you know, like, oh my God, you're right. You know, like, get out of my head. You're so true.
Well, and the crazy thing is, the research clearly shows that the more educated you are, the greater the incidence of imposter syndrome. And women, unfortunately, suffer from it even greater than men do, because of, frankly, societal pressures and the roles that women have traditionally played in our society. So, imposter syndrome for professionals as a whole is a huge problem. Huge
Oh,
problem.
yeah, awesome. The book is called One Move Makes All the Difference. You're going to be seeing our friend here at some of our veterinary conferences speaking, and we're excited and honored to have you. And to the listeners, I invite you to challenge that, by the way, and bring other outsiders in. We're going to be having an ophthalmologist come and speak with us, a human oncologist. I mean, this is how we learn and grow together across professions, regardless of the species that we care for, because we're better together and knowing that our differences might be there, what makes us stronger through innovation and these great conversations. So thank you so much for all you do, Dr. Martin Mendelsohn in the house.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It was an honor and a pleasure.
Where can we learn more about you? Do you have a website?
Yeah, I do. You can go, it's just my name. So it's martinmendelsohn.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn, or if you're an Instagram person, my handle is Doc Martin Empowers.
Love it. That's a good handle, by the way. It's a good
Thank
one.
you.
It's a good
Thank you.
one. Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the podcast. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.